are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This is Beth, health and wellness expert, back for an episode of A Healthier You, along with Dr. Scott Clitheroe. Glad you guys could join us. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, Beth. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. I'm looking forward to spring.
Yes, I am tired of this weather. Even though it's Texas, it's been kind of cold, chilly, and damp. I'm ready for some springtime weather.
I swear, I think the rain has stopped and 2 days later it's back. I swear this has been the wettest winter I've ever known.
It's been a lot of snow out west and elsewhere too, so I guess we're lucky in that regard.
Yeah, I got a text from a friend out in Arizona that it snowed in Arizona today.
Wow.
Right?
Now, I've been skiing in Arizona before, so there are some ski resorts in Arizona up in the mountains, but yeah, it's unusual to see it like down in the Phoenix area where it's usually pretty dry and sunny this time of year.
Yeah. Speaking of skiing, you just got back from a ski trip.
I did. It was so much fun. Beautiful. Went to Sun Valley, Idaho. Never been there before. Highly recommend it. It's just beautiful. Lots of history up there and, of course, natural beauty. And we had tons of snow, so we got very lucky. Great skiing.
You know, I have never been skiing in my life.
And you grew up in Indiana. I mean, you're up in the snow belt. You could go up to, Michigan and, Wisconsin has ski resorts, not too far away.
You know, and I kind of regret that, but I guess I was so focused on gymnastics and dance and cheerleading, and that was just kind of my time that I did for recreation, and I was really entrenched in that. And then vacations, my parents, we would always go to the Carolinas or go see grandparents. So we just never really did that. And my parents, you know, my dad was athletic, my mom not so much. So we just never did anything like that.
Well, and also I guess when you're an elite gymnast like you were, you can't really afford an injury, you know, and obviously with skiing, although I highly recommend it as a great outdoor activity, it comes with some risks if you're not careful and you can hurt your knee, so that could set you back. So I'm sure that may have been part of the equation for you.
Yeah, it maybe. We'll just say maybe, but I think my parents just didn't want to do it. So, but you know, actually speaking of exercise and fitness, I kind of like to talk about that and just really where our conversation goes from there. So I hope our listeners have fun listening and to me and Scott chit chat about the importance of exercise today. So
that would be great.
I know. You know what drives?
Because you know, I think if you don't exercise at all, it's good to start. And if you do exercise, maybe it's good to consider other things or a different tack, so you don't make it such a chore and a burden. You know, it should be fun, right?
Oh, I know. And if something's not fun, someone's not going to stay with it. So, but. Yeah. I think for me in the profession that I do, there are so many people that think they don't need to exercise because they say they don't need to lose weight. And that really drives me crazy. I mean, exercise is good not only for weight management, but also good for your heart, wonderful for stress management, disease prevention, and exercise can even massively increase your bone and muscle density. So if you want to get healthy, maintain muscle, build some lean muscle, stay strong, you have to incorporate exercise into your routine. And you've got to make it fun or someone's not going to stay with it. So you're absolutely right. Pick something you like and do it.
Also, you know, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to exercise, but one of the benefits we see in older folks is a reduction in fall risk. That strengthening the tendons and increasing endurance and muscle strength will also reduce the risk of falls, which it becomes a big problem as we get older. So I think that's another benefit that folks should start thinking about as they get older is, hey, I don't want to end up with a broken hip some way. And so if you're exercising in a way that increases your bone density or at least maintains it and increasing improving your balance, then you're going to be less risk of falling and hurting yourself. That's a big reason to do it.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was reading a fascinating article in a research journal, and this article was called something like protein intake and its effect on lean muscle preservation in bedbound and immobilized subjects. I mean, it was really good research-based article, and it generated some questions for me that I want to ask you about. But before we dive into that, I wanted to say I actually got interested in studying bone and muscle loss because, one, I actually have a little bit of bone loss, but as a female, and we all know as we get older, that can contribute to osteoporosis, osteopenia. But there was one group, and it was very distinct, that keeps coming up in these studies, and that was gymnasts are very susceptible to bone loss. And as a former gymnast, that was fascinating to me.
Yeah. Why is that? I mean, it kind of is counterintuitive. Did they explain why that may be?
Well, I mean, at the rate at which they hit the ground is incredible. I mean, when they dismount, let's say the uneven bars or the beam, they can land with 10 times their body weight. I mean, when you're running, you're basically putting 3 times your body weight on that when you're running. But when you're landing as a gymnast would, I mean, that's pretty incredible. I mean, I do have to say that some gymnasts probably have some overtraining issues and eating disorders, and that's why they actually have fractures a lot, but they're still going through these really high loads. I mean, there's no way you can dismount from the uneven bars and not get 6, 7, 8 times your body weight. So I personally think that the most fascinating people to work with are athletes and gymnasts, but they're also right on the edge of incredible damage too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, what I imagine, you know, for bone density, you would say that high intensity exercise would be better for bone growth than maybe low intensity, right? So maybe, you know, running or aerobics may be better than swimming per se.
Absolutely.
But, you know, obviously swimming is great. I love swimming. But, you know, from a bone density standpoint, probably weight-bearing exercises that, you know, cause the bones to move and to support weight are probably better, resistance training, things like that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And when you think about it, it's kind of the same reason, but in reverse, why astronauts would have poor bone density. They're not getting loading. They're not getting impact, but it does make sense. I mean, impact creates an osteogenetic load that induces some form of osteoblastic cell formation. So that's exactly what you're saying. So for that, you know, bone density, you want to do weight-bearing activities and have loading.
So Beth, say one of your clients comes to you and they've been sent to you by their doctor or by somebody they love who says you just need to get in better shape. I mean, they're totally sedentary. They have a desk job. They don't really walk much at work, and you know, they may have some health issues, maybe not. You know, what do you tell them as far as, you know, getting into an exercise program? What are the do's and don'ts, and just kind of take us through your mindset for that process?
Well, it would be completely different. Let's say if someone is elderly or they have an injury and they're kind of bedbound, so to say, for that reason, or if they're like, just say they're bedbound because they have multiple sclerosis. So there would be a complete, I mean, they might not be able to do any weight bearing activities. So I'd really focus on nutrition and amino acids, essential amino acids and protein in that. But for someone who is bedbound, the importance of that muscle mass, I mean, really can't be overstated, because what we do is find that the muscle is very plastic and it changes and adapts in accordance with different abilities, intense frequency and durations. So bed rest, whether again it be with someone who has multiple sclerosis or has an injury, but again, bed rest unfortunately adapts by having muscle atrophy. You know, I know that there was a review, I want to say his name was Benjamin Hall or Wall maybe, but he showed kind of looking at the research on muscle mass being measured in bed rest or immobilization, that 0.5% of total lean body mass is shown to be reduced in rates with people in bed rest. So ultimately, we could lose 0.5% of our muscle per day when we start to not work that muscle. And I'm talking about total mobilization, like lying around or just not loading your muscles, not just lifting weights or taking a few days off. So I think it's important to put that in context, because those studies would be for people who didn't get previous training behind them. So in the context of someone who just did a marathon, or maybe they usually do some super compensation by deloading, and they want to be a couch potato for a week or so to recoup, it's not going to be the same effect. But someone who's been injured or completely on bed rest, the severity is about 0.5% of good lean muscle mass per day, with the initial 10 days having the greatest effect. So someone who is on bed rest and can't do that, it would be lots of protein, amino acids, you know, working out with weights in your bed. For someone who's injured, I would say, you know, walk, that would be the best thing. So really, when you're meeting with the client, you've got to ask lots of questions and know your patient. So
yeah. I mean, there's this thing that we use kind of the FIT prescription. I don't know if you've heard that term, FITT, you know, the frequency, intensity, time of exercise and type of exercise, you know, the FIT. So you kind of, I've used that model in the past when I'm talking to patients. And, you know, for a basic sedentary person, I'll just say, they'll ask, I guess walking, but how fast do I walk? And I always say, well, you know, moderate intensity is where you're, you know, you can carry on a conversation with somebody, but it's not easy, and maybe you can't sing. You know, you couldn't sing a song while you're moderately exercising. You know, you couldn't do that. So don't really focus maybe too much on your heart rate or, you know, how fast you're going. Just say, okay, well, I may get to the point where it's a little bit challenging. I'm having, a little increase in my respiratory rate, but I can still talk to somebody next to me. You know, you don't want to be gasping for breaths. And you know, do that for 20 minutes. And if you can't do it for 20 minutes, do it for 10 and build up to it. And then, you know, try to do it 3 or 4 times a week, you know, so that, you know, and I always tell people that don't beat yourself up. If you just do it once, you know, well, that's once more than you were doing. So, you know, just keep building on that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I was speaking to a lady in Chicago this week, and she said, I can't get out and exercise. I don't have fitness equipment at my house. So I told her to march in place for 10 minutes while she's watching her favorite TV program. And if she can actually go up to 20 minutes and then 30 minutes, or she has to break that up into 10 minute chunks throughout the day, that's fine, because a body in motion stays in motion. So you're absolutely right. I mean, whatever, you know, start with baby steps and make it fun, like you said at the beginning, or you're not going to stay with it. Now for someone who are former athletes or who work out regularly, it's going to be a completely different type of exercise routine than I encourage them to do.
Yeah. You remind me of the concept that I've read and heard people talk about, where, you know, if you have a guilty pleasure, something that, you know, you may be like watching some soap opera or a reality TV show, which I'm not making a commentary on those things, but, you know, just something that, oh, maybe I shouldn't do it so much. Well, only do it when you're on the treadmill, or, you know, only do it, you know, only watch TV while you're marching in place, like you said, or what have you. So I've seen quite a few people at the gym, you know, who have their iPads or their phones and they're watching TV while they're on the treadmill or on the stationary bike and or the rowing machine or what have you. Maybe not the rowing machine, it's kind of tough, but, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I know that, you know, sometimes, again, people get bored with simple basic things that are still good for them, but maybe they should, you know, maybe consider doing something else while they're doing it. Binge watch a show or listen to a book, or, you know, I like to, when I'm running, I don't usually like to listen too much because I try to run with a friend, but when I'm walking by myself, I usually listen to podcasts that I find interesting, or I listen to a book, an audible book, you know, an audio book or something like that. That seems to make the time go by faster, and I still get my exercise, but I get something else done while I'm doing it.
Yeah, I love to listen to music. When I actually went out for a walk this morning, and I was like, no, when my phone battery went dead, because it's hard for me. I love the music. It's just kind of, you know, so yeah, I'm the same way. I need to be motivated, and I love music when I work out.
Yeah. But I do caution people, and I'm sure this is evident, but it's worth saying that, you know, when you're out in traffic, riding a bike or running or walking, you know, don't turn the music up too loud and be mindful of your surroundings, especially since a lot of the drivers around you may be also looking at their phones. Just be careful. Yeah. I always assume when I'm when I'm walking or running on the street, I always assume that car, especially if they're coming up from behind me, they don't see me. So I get over. Not to sound too paranoid, but it's better to be safe than sorry. So, you know, be careful with the music on while you're, especially riding bikes, you know, keep it low or maybe wait till you get there.
Yeah. Or it's, what I do is I'll just put one earbud in.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. I think that's really good. You still get the sound, but you can hear your surroundings, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and yeah. I'm in the philosophy, the louder the music, the better, which is horrible. I know for hearing, we need to do a show about hearing, but I like the beat and the loud music and all that. So I usually use my earbud.
Yeah. So what about the person, this is a common thing and you kind of alluded to it with your Chicago friend, but so, I am a mechanic. I work hard all day with my body. I'm walking around, I'm bending, I'm lifting, I'm twisting, I'm bent over. I get home, I'm exhausted, you know, and, you know, but granted, I think we all agree that although that's hard work, it may not be the best aerobic work. How do you counsel your patients? And I hear this a lot. Boy, I'm exhausted, doc. I can't, you know, do anything more when I get home except just plop on the couch. What do you tell those folks?
Well, we call that functional fitness, and that's really good. And actually, CrossFit is really popular right now, and their whole concept is functional fitness. I mean, they're moving tires, they're working with ropes. And so a mechanic who has a job where they're really, really busy, we call that functional fitness. In the business. But when someone comes to me and they want me to put them on an exercise regimen or personal train them, we go into some really deep questions because anatomy, their job, physiological triggers, goals, and even past, present, and future events will make up the ideal exercise protocol that I'll design for the clients. And I like to tell people that there's three components of a great fitness program, and those are cardio, strength, and stability, which I'd like to drill down on each of those three topics in a second. But you really need to do all three of those to see results and have optimal health.
Interesting. Yeah. So like, and for give me an example maybe of what you would, you know, prescribe a patient, if you will.
Okay. So let's say cardio. There's four major components to a cardio workout. The first one is max oxygen utilization, which is referred to as long interval training. An example of this would be doing your maximum effort on a bike. You can swim, you can run, you can do whatever you want, but you're at your maximum, like you're doing everything you can full out for 4 minutes with a 4 minute recovery. And you have the mitochondria workouts, which are short burst training at 30 seconds at your max, with a 2 minute long recovery. And then you have your lactic acid tolerance workout. And this workout, you would do a 20 second, really hard full out max with a 10 second recovery. And a perfect example of this routine would be a Tabata workout, which is really popular now. And research shows that this helps with human growth hormone as well. And finally, you have the stamina workout, which is kind of typically what people think of when they think of cardio workouts, which is where you do a long hike, swim, walk, run for 45 to 60 minutes. And I typically encourage people to do this, these workouts in a fasted state. So those are kind of four components. And again, it goes back to their goals, past injuries, things like that. So that's kind of the components of cardio. And then strength training, and I do have to say that if you have 10 different trainers, 10 different wellness professionals, you're going to get 10 different workout routines or advice. But I do myself, and I even recommend for people to do, unless they're injured, are controlled super slow sets. This is when you do, or you lift really heavy weights, maybe 5 sets, and you can only do maybe 3 to 5 reps per set. Now, you're not going to work your fast twitch muscles on these, but if you do the Tabata workouts that I just talked about, those really work fast twitch muscles. And then the last component is flexibility. So you have your foam rollers that you can do. You actually, believe it or not, you can get massages, and that's going to count as flexibility because you're really stretching those muscles out. And stretching like yoga, And actually, I want to do something real quick. So I want you to stand up, Scott. We're going to actually do a little stretching thing here. And I want to describe the different types of stretching you can do. So I want you to stand up. And
I'm going to let me turn the video camera off. Oh, wait, there's no video camera.
You're so funny. So funny.
Okay, I'm standing up.
Okay, and I want you to bend down and touch your toes. Okay. Now, that type of stretching is when you're just stretching a certain muscle group or groups, and that's called static stretching. Now,
can I stand up?
Yeah, you can stand up. You can stand up now. Now, I want you to take your shoulders and roll them back, just like little circles in the back. So you're actually doing circles forward and backward. That's called dynamic stretching, where you're actually moving when you stretch. Both are important. Both are really, really good, but completely different types of stretching. That dynamic stretching, when you're moving and stretching, is good when you have, it's cold outside, you're just starting to work out. The dynamic stretching is more beneficial for after a workout. So when you weave those four cardio that I talked about, the strength and the flexibility, when you weave all those together, you're going to be checking all the boxes and have a great workout. So to answer your question is, if someone comes to me, I would talk about their goals. I would talk about, you know, past injuries. I would talk about what they like. And then we would do the perfect workout. And the good thing is, you don't have to work out every day. You can. But if you're incorporating all these within like a 2 to 3 week program, you're going to have amazing results and feel good and want to stay with it because you're doing something different all the time. And bam, you're good.
That's awesome. Can I sit down now?
Yes, you can. I'm so sorry.
It's like Simon says, Beth. I have to, you know, Beth says instead of Simon says.
I feel so bossy.
You know, when you were talking about the stretching thing, I tell me if I'm wrong, because this is not my area of expertise, but, you know, yoga, and again, I don't do either, but I'm fascinated by them and I really want to do more of them in my own life, but yoga seems more like the, you know, passive stretching or, you know, static stretching, right? And then, or wait, I'm gonna correct me. Then, but what about Tai Chi? Because I see those people doing Tai Chi and they're, it looks like almost like somewhat of a stretch when they're moving their arms and their body around and their core. Do you have any comments about that in the, maybe not in the context of stretching, but just in the context of exercise, yoga? I know you do yoga. What about Tai Chi? Any thoughts about those two things? Because I'm fascinated by them.
That's funny you mentioned that. About 3 years ago, I signed up for a Tai Chi class and more about movement and really kind of taking your brain inside your body and thinking, am I cold? Am I warm? Because you want to be warm. You want your body to be warm. So it may be a little bit of stretching, but it's really about flow and it's really about getting those cells moving, because you know that stagnant cells can cause disease.
Yeah.
And once the cells are moving together in a very flowy motion, you're not going to have that stagnation and disease prevention. So a little bit of stretching, but it's really more about the mind body movement together. So that's what Tai Chi is. I found it boring, but it's good for you.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun to do it? And most of the time I see people doing Tai Chi, they're doing it with a group. Because even though it's very meditational, it appears very meditational, maybe it's better to do it in a group. I mean, you see them in the park sometimes, like at Zilker Park here in Austin, you see them groups of folks doing it. And it looks really cool. I know in San Francisco, I've seen them quite a few times in the parks there. And I don't know, it seems like a great mental and physical, you know, mind-body connection type exercise. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we actually had a guest on in December, Linda, that really is into Tai Chi and the mind-body connection. And Tai Chi is definitely a part of that. And think about the people that are doing Tai Chi, you know, the Chinese, the Korean, that they're the ones that brought it over. And they are living really, really long, you know, 100, 120 years old. And they swear by it. So I need to get into it, but it's a very methodical, very slow, very, but good for you. So I'm going to challenge
go ahead.
I'm going to challenge you, Dr. Clitheroe. I want you to take a Tai Chi class go to Zelda Park sometime when it's nice. And then I want you to report back to us and tell us about it.
I will do it. Okay. I got some homework. I will do it because I know that there's been a lot of studies in the geriatric literature about the effects of Tai Chi. And again, back to fall reduction. So I think that I certainly need to practice what I preach. Not that I'm elderly yet, although sometimes I feel like it, but I think that, you know, it'd be good to be able to talk about it in an educated way when I talk to my elderly patients about fall reduction, because apparently Tai Chi is very good for reducing fall risk in the elderly. And it's a great, you know, again, exercise that can be done inside and can be done without much access to equipment. And it has a lot of benefits, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely, you are moving your core when you're doing a lot of therapy, so that's something I would recommend to the elderly or anybody, really. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
So what is your favorite form of exercise?
Running.
Running.
Because of the following, it's easy, not easy necessarily to run, especially if you're trying to run at a moderate to high intensity, you know, pace or what have you. But it's easy because I can just put my shoes on and go outside the door. I don't have to go anywhere and whatnot. And also it's a communal thing because I run with a friend or two or both, and it's a good time to catch up and talk, you know. And again, back to that whole comment that we try to run at a pace where we can continue to talk the whole time. Maybe towards the end of the run, we don't talk as much, but you know, we try and talk. And then lastly, it just really seems to be, for me, very meditational because I can kind of clear my mind and get outside. I like to run outside. I'm not a big treadmill running guy. Of course, you know, sometimes the weather doesn't cooperate that well, but I like to get outside and run in all types of weather just because it makes me feel better to get some fresh air. So that running. And then secondly, I would say swimming. I didn't learn how to swim for exercise until probably I was 40. And I struggled at first, but I'm okay now. I can, you know, make it and swim a ways and get a good exercise in. But again, I think the main thing about swimming is it's a whole body exercise. I feel like I've lifted weights and done an aerobic exercise. And then lastly, it's also good because I'm not good at it. And so I really clear my brain and just think about my stroke and whatnot. So I really like those two things. I don't bike as much as I used to, because frankly, it's hard to find a place to bike that's not with a lot of traffic where I exist in the world. And I'm always a little concerned about traffic. And so I need to ride bikes more. And there are certainly some places here in Austin that I can ride, but I would rank them that way as far as exercise goes.
Yeah.
For me. How about you?
My favorite is dancing. I love to dance. My new love, and I'm obsessed with Bali X. Have you heard of that?
What's that? Tell me about that. I've never heard of that.
Okay. So you've heard of Bollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. So for those who don't know, Bollywood is like the Hollywood over in India, and they have an exercise routine that has a very Indian kind of just a flair to it, like Zumba, but with an Indian flair. And
how cool
it is. So you need to Google Bali X. So that's
how do you spell it?
Bollyx.
Okay, so like Hollywood and Bali. Okay, I've certainly heard of Bollywood, but I've never heard of Bollyx. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are there actually classes now being given at you know, workout places?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do mine online because I haven't found anything, but that's kind of my profession. And I have a dance background, so I love Bollyx, but I love to walk. I love to hike. Hiking's probably my favorite, but then I like to walk. I actually ran in a 5K this past weekend.
Great.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. It was fun because I used to be a runner. I used to run marathons and half marathons, and I was to the point where I was probably, my relationship with exercise wasn't healthy. Like I remember traveling for work and getting to the city we were traveling with other coworkers. And we would get in like at 10:30 at night, and they would be like, okay, let's, you know, have a late dinner, whatever. I'm like, no, I have to go work out. I mean, I would be so stressed out unless I could work out. That was like an obsession, probably an unhealthy obsession for me. And I was a runner. So now I've taken that down. Running's not my favorite thing to do, but I really enjoyed the 5K. I really
do. Yeah, that's awesome. There's a, I mean, like a lot of towns, there's a turkey trot here in Austin every Thanksgiving morning. And then for my family, it's become somewhat of a tradition that we go down there and run and, you know, get a good exercise in before we come back and eat all that food. And it's just a blast because, again, back to my comment about running, it's certainly a communal thing when you're running with 10,000 of your closest friends, but it's just fun. So I really encourage people who are maybe trying to get into exercise that maybe, you know, just enrolling in the next 5K and, you know, event, just walk it. A lot of people walk. You don't have to run. And it's just so fun to be around people who are also interested in their health and, you know, getting outside. And it's usually for a good cause. And I think it's just a great way to motivate yourself. And then along those lines, if you do kind of get into running, then maybe picking a 5K or a 10K will give you a goal, because there's a lot of neat apps on the internet and all those apps on the phone that can give you a workout schedule. You know, you say, okay, I'm going to run a 10K May the, you know, 17th. And so it'll say, okay, between now and then you have to do this workout to get to that point. And those are very helpful to me.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of good online, or you can hire a personal trainer, but like from Couch Potato to 5K in 8 weeks or things like that. But I can honestly say one of the best 5Ks, and I've done it the past 3 years, it'll be my fourth year, is in Houma, Louisiana, believe it or not. It's a food fest and 5K, and it's an evening run where people have lights, they have like glow lights, and it's, like I said, an evening run. And then afterward, they have a band, free beer, they have food. It is just so much fun. So yeah, go out there, find a fun 5K, find a friend, and just go for it.
You know, I would be, I guess, remiss if I didn't say it as a physician that, you know, I do think that it's a good idea for folks who have, you know, maybe if they're middle-aged or older and they want to start an exercise program, that it may not be a bad idea to check with their healthcare provider, their physician, to, you know, get a general checkup and make sure that they're okay for exercise. You know, I think it's probably good to just get that first checkup, and a physician would, you know, certainly do a thorough exam and maybe an EKG, family history, check some routine labs. And it may not be a bad idea to do that before you get out there and really hit it hard, just to be safe.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and research shows that 80% of injuries in the gym are due to exercise and motor control related and poor technique. So absolutely, go check out your heart. Go check out if you have some muscle or bone issues. And some people might not know that they have osteopenia, you know.
Yeah.
And if you start running, you could break a foot. So absolutely great advice. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's actually a real science behind posture and fitness techniques too. So if you're a first-time worker outer, then, you know, find somebody that works out, find somebody that knows what they're doing, hire a personal trainer, hire someone that knows what they're doing. And I mean, take example, something as simple as walking. If my feet are turned out even slightly, every time I take a step, my hip is an extension. So I start with my foot out, suddenly my hip is never going to be stable. So, and people might not think about that, but what ends up happening is I'm walking like a duck, then the whole hip architecture has become mechanically unstable. So what I'm saying is in walking or running or even just standing in line at the grocery store, our feet and our legs really need to be straight. So as we translate over the hip, our hips become, again, mechanically stable, and then we can generate more force in that position and ultimately become stronger. So our hamstrings work like hamstrings, our quads look like quads, our hip flexors work correctly. So you're again going to create the stability with proper technique. So seeing your doctor, making sure you got the clean bill of health, then hiring a trainer or working out with a friend that knows what they're doing to get those little techniques is really important if you're a beginner. Absolutely.
Do you think that is there enough information on the internet that's reliable that if a person, you know, can't afford a personal trainer or a gym membership, and you know, maybe I don't have any close friends who are the Beth Sims type, you know, are there at least websites to go to, or is it worthwhile like videotaping yourself? I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but maybe videotaping yourself if you can while you're doing some exercises to see how you your technique shapes up to what you see on the internet? Is that ever something that you've recommended?
Yeah, there's only a couple that I really recommend, and that would be Dr. Mm-hmm. Max. I think he's wonderful, and he does have little short, like 10-second, 20-second videos on how to do proper technique. Mm-hmm. And Ben Greenfield, those are the two that I would push people to look at. Now, Ben Greenfield is an ultra marathoner. He is one of those people that's crazy. He will, he's probably for more of the advanced if you want to get more advanced, but for the beginners, Dr. Axe is great. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, Beth. You know, and I had it on my list of things to talk about. I want to bring up, if it's a good time, about, and I mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, but just the treatment of depression with exercise, that, you know, it's been clinically proven with some interesting studies that regular, you know, moderate, low to moderate intensity exercise improves serotonin levels and thus can treat mild depression. And just there's a lot of interesting studies out there that talk about that. But I think it's kind of intuitive for most people that, you know, turning off the TV and putting away the phone and getting out there and getting your heart rate up is although challenging at first, when you finish, it's just this great feeling of accomplishment and satisfaction. And that's coming from neurochemistry. You know, it's really been proven. And I just can't say that enough. And I think that's one of the untold benefits of exercise.
Now, I'm so glad you brought that up. Did you know, like, 95% of your dopamine and 50% of your serotonin is actually produced in your gut area? Did you know that? I bet you did.
I didn't know that much. I know that's definitely the case. That's why a lot of antidepressants have so many GI side effects, right? Because of that interplay. But yeah, that's fascinating. I didn't know that.
Well, and that's so when you're working out, you said the dopamine, the serotonin go up, those feel good hormones, because you're getting your blood supply going, you know, and so that's absolutely scientific research. Cannot argue that. Absolutely. So,
I mean, I think it, you know, there's, you know, certainly reasons not to exercise, obviously, if you're injured or you are with some major health problems. So once again, you know, get that healthcare provider to give you a clean bill of health. And again, most physicians can actually, you know, prescribe, if you will, a program based on your needs. And if they have, you know, maybe not that much of expertise in that area, then get a referral to somebody like you, a wellness expert who can do it. So I think that, you know, the first step is just getting out there and doing things, you know. And and again, I've said this before too, Beth, but I truly believe, you know, don't use the elevator. Don't mm-hmm. look for that close parking spot. You know, get a couple of extra steps in by parking, you know, far away from the grocery store, and you know, maybe taking the flight of stairs up instead of the elevator. There are some things you can do right there that are pretty pretty cheap and pretty efficient.
That's so funny you say that. I was traveling last week for work, and in the hotel room, my room was on the fourth floor, and 9 times out of 10, I would take the stairs. So I was mm-hmm. like, it was a goal that I had, because I had been sitting in the car driving 6 hours to get to the hotel, to the location. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take all my luggage. It's going to take me 4 trips to get to my room. But that first day there, because again, I was sitting all day. I didn't want to exercise, but I wanted to do something because it was kind of late. By that like fifth trip of bringing my luggage to the fourth floor, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. But I'm serious. I got my heart rate up, and
yeah,
it was probably a 30 minute, like, you know, tackle to do all that, but it was good. And I got my workout in, and I wasn't even planning on it. So those little things add up.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I remember I was thinking about a time, I don't travel that much but I was at the Denver airport and with a layover. And so I said, well, I'll just go, you know, so that airport's big, obviously. And I said, I'm just going to get up and walk and, you know, not take the moving sidewalk and I had some time between flights. And so I walked and you know, it's pretty crowded there, of course, like most airports. But I kind of noticed that I did 2 laps around Terminal B there. I think that's the United Terminal. And I finally realized that I was seeing a couple of other people that looked familiar, and I think they were doing the same thing. I never saw that. I never made eye contact with them, but I thought, I guess I'm not the only one doing that. So I think that maybe frequent travelers know that that's a great way to get some exercise instead of sitting there at the gate and you know, checking your social apps or, you know, reading stuff, and maybe get up and book it around the airport, you know, get some steps in. That's not a bad way to do it either.
Not at all. You have to be a little disciplined and be creative.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I know that you are a busy man, so we are going to close this episode right now. Go to commercial break, and then I have some closing comments.
Okay. It's been great, Beth, and I'm motivated now to do some Tai Chi, so thanks for the homework assignment.
Oh, no problem. Okay, have a great day.
Okay, bye. All right, bye.
Hello, this is Melinda Davis, also known as Mel D, coming to you live today on an episode of A Healthy of You to share an awesome announcement with our host and with you, the listeners. I want to first thank your host, Beth, and co-host, Dr. Scott Clitheroe, for an awesome episode today on the importance of exercise and how each and every one of us can incorporate it into our activities of daily living. Some great tips were shared today. But guess what, everyone? I have a huge announcement that I want to share. This week, we will be celebrating, we being the Up to Me Radio Network, we will be celebrating our 500th episode. This is a major milestone for Up to Me Radio and our podcast network. We are asking for everyone who's ever listened to an episode to celebrate with us today and this week. And also, please share us with your family and friends. We are going to continue to provide you with the best in inspirational radio, and we'd love to hear from you on topics that you would like to hear and have conversations on with your hosts, Beth and Dr. Scott Clitheroe. So please continue to listen. Beth is going to close out today's episode. And again, thank you so much for your support. We look forward to you tuning in to the next episode of A Healthier View.
Thank you so much to our listeners for joining Scott and me today. I hope everyone enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. We talked about the importance of exercise and different components of fitness today. The purpose of the show is to educate everyone on different and new avenues in the health and wellness world. We haven't done this in a while, but we have a giveaway to announce. We're going to be giving away a month of free personal health coaching, which includes talking about nutrition, stress management, fitness, personal training, all that good stuff when it relates to health. And this coaching will be done over Skype or Zoom. And in order to win, you have to be a subscriber to our show. So make sure you subscribe. And our amazing, talented executive producer, Mel, will be doing the drawing next week. So good luck to everyone in that drawing. I would also like to thank our sponsor, Atlanta Life Media Agency, for their support. Without them, the show would not be possible. Remember to visit our show's landing page at www.uptomeradio.com. That's www.up2me.com. And lastly, like us on Facebook, Up to Me Radio, and follow us on Twitter at Up to Me Radio. I hope everyone had a great time, and we'll see you next time when we talk to Becky Dubay and Tracy Hounds about essential oils. It really will be a great show, so I hope everyone joins us for that one. Until then, have a healthy day.